Hey, what's up? Welcome to the All 49ers show presented by BetUS. That's Jose Sanchez. I'm Grant Cohn. We write for all49ersSI.com/NFL/49ers. It is March 22nd, 2024, and Brandon Ayuk is still on the 49ers, at least for now. And he hasn't requested a trade, at least not yet. So let's start right there. Jose, do you think Brandon Ayuk will request a trade eventually, the way his friend and teammate Deebo Samuel did?
Oh, if he does, I hope it's in the middle of a stream like we did that 2 years ago. You remember that stream that happened? Or why were we about to go live? We're like, breaking news, Deebo Samuel requested a trade. We're like, oh, this is going to be fun. So, but I think how he's going to, I think for now he's going to stay away from that. I don't think he's going to do that unless it gets to, I feel like the only way he's going to request a trade is if like the preliminary kind of talks they're having now with the 49ers are his senses, okay, we're really far apart, and now let me try to like ruffle some feathers. Because it's kind of clear what he's doing on social media right now. He's kind of just like kind of trolling and messaging around. So that to me would probably be if you request one where he just likes to like kick, stir the pot a little bit, get people talking, you know, put exterior pressure on the 49ers, even though it doesn't really like add to anything. But I think that's something I can see him doing if he's just agitated or becoming impatient. But I don't really foresee that being the case. I think he's going to stay away from that and just continue to do little social media nuggets that he said the other day.
Yeah. I think if we look back on it, probably Deebo Samuel requesting that trade was a mistake. Like, he didn't get anything out of it, and people don't forget that he did it. I think it really cost him more than it gained him anything. So was it a smart move? Was it an impulsive move? I don't know. Seems to me if you want to trade, there are other ways to go about it. Like DeForest Buckner got his way out of town. He said what he wanted. The Niners said what they were willing to give. And I think they essentially said, like, if you can find someone who's willing to give us what we want for you and give you what you want financially, let us know. And he did. So it was all seemed like it was all done behind closed doors. Deebo seemed like it was more of, I don't have any leverage, so let me, I don't know, try this. And it didn't work. Ayuk is younger. He watched Deebo Samuel sort of fail in his trade request attempt. Maybe he's trying to do something a little bit more clever or a little less. I don't know. But so it seems like just tweeting at Mike Tomlin was pretty clever.
Yeah. I think that one was kind of funny. Well, look, they do kind of look a little bit like twins. I'm like,
now that I saw it, they do actually look a lot like twins.
So when he did that, I just took that as like face value. Like, oh, this is kind of funny. Like, I don't think necessarily, I guess it just happens to be that the fact that there was like rumored of interest from the Steelers, which number one, no duh. I'm pretty sure all 31 teams in the league have interest and this happens. It's just the fact that it's the offseason that now you all of a sudden hear this and it's like, oh, interest, look at this. And he just turns out to ruffle the feathers because, like, oh, yeah, we're twins. But I thought it was funny. But I think he also, liked the tweet. I don't know if you saw that. Like, he liked the tweet about someone saying, oh, that's him to the 49ers, like, not answering the call or something like that. So, to me, he's probably, like, he's probably just chilling, kicking back, stirring the pot, you know? Kind of what I like to do on Twitter. Like, send a tweet and, like, send the grenade. Just, like, all right, turn off my phone. Bye. I just want to see everyone fight over this. I think if he's going to go the trade route, though, I don't think he would do it publicly. Like, maybe go the A.J. Brown route. Because when you bring up Deebo Samuel, remember, he's the one that publicly did it and try to be, like, you know, kind of, like, ruffle some feathers, pot stir. Where A.J. Brown is like, no one even knew he was going to be on the trade block. It came out of nowhere. Like, it's draft day. It's like, wait, what? He's going from Tennessee to the Eagles? So I think if that's going to be the case, he's going to have to do that soon and under the table. And from now, it's going to be from now until the draft that you would have him actually be as a feasible option for him to do that.
Yeah. Again, going back to Buckner as the template here, it seemed like what Buckner was able to do was say, look, you guys want to pay me $18 million a year or whatever. I want 21, and I'm not settling for less, and I can get it from other teams who would be willing to trade a first round pick and pay me that money. And he was right. So if Brandon Ayuk wants out, he would have to prove to the 49ers that what he's asking for isn't outrageous because X team, Y team, Z team is willing to pay for it and trade the 49ers a first round pick. Is that the world we're living in? I mean, Jacksonville didn't do it. Pittsburgh hasn't done it yet. This is something that could happen on the night of the draft, but I'm not sure if a team would be as eager to trade a first round pick and spend $26, $27, $28 million a year on a wide receiver as they would be trading a first-round pick for a defensive tackle who's 6'8". Those guys are tougher to find.
Yeah, it sounds like the consensus too from a lot of like analysts, you know, media people, content creators, whatever, that wide receiver is in this draft is pretty stacked. Like you can find them. So that's like the drawback of Ayuk here. If he requests a trade, it's like you're right. It's gonna make you look probably worse, like in hindsight, if you do extend or whatever, you play out this final year, because the odds of you getting traded now are probably very slim, like if not happening at all. Again, it's gonna happen from now until the draft. But like you said, it's like teams, are they really willing to do that? Like, because the fact that you have to extend him too, you know, it's a non-premium position wide receiver where typically, even when it's not a stacked draft, you could still find some day two or even some day three caliber players. So it's really not in the probably best interest either for the 49ers. So like, you know, even if it was Jacksonville 17, you're only moving seven spots.
And remember back the Buckner trade, like that was during a draft that wasn't that strong at defensive tackle. Yeah. Which is why there was a market for him. And the Niners, I mean, like the Colts looked at that draft and said they would rather trade for Buckner than draft Kinlaw. Mm-hmm. And the Niners were like, well, we need to save money, so we'll take that risk. But this is a different situation. It's not like there's a bunch of really good wide receivers in this draft. Teams aren't saying, man, you know, need a wide receiver. There's no options this year. I'll trade a first round pick and spend on it. Like that's not the market.
Yeah, and even if you do have that capital somehow in the top 20 that you get, if you're the 49ers, you really have to weigh, like, is it worth sacrificing this all-pro receiver who continues to get better every freaking year just to draft potentially your starter at offensive line for the future? A guy who's probably, at first, will probably be decent, but who knows? You know, it's a lot of mystery. You know, my favorite line in this sport is, like, Family Guy episode where you trade a guarantee for the mystery box. It's like, yeah. Brandon Ayuk, all-pro. But the mystery draft pick could be anything. It's like, I don't know if I want to do that.
It's true. It could be Tristan Wirfs. It could be Javon Kinlaw. Let's go right to that. Should the 49ers trade Brandon Ayuk? I mean, they could give him the money he's asking for, which is a lot. Or they could trade him for another player who's on a rookie deal. And if he's good, they win the trade. What do you think?
It's not in the 49ers' interest too, and ultimately, I don't think they will. I think actually the route that's going to be taken is let him play out his final year of his deal, and then tag him. I feel like he's going to follow in the footsteps of T. Higgins right now, where T. Higgins mm-hmm. like on the tag, and the Bengals are like, oh, let's see if we can work a way to either extend him or send him packing. Because what's the thing that keeps getting said about the 49ers like contract situation with the players is after this season, upcoming season, 2024. Deebo Samuel's contract becomes way more friendlier in terms of moving him or even cutting him. So for 49ers, maybe that's something you consider. It's like, okay, now's the here. We can see if Deebo going to continue this trend? Is Ayuk going to continue this trend? Where now it's like, okay, we can still ride out with them one more year. And then after that, choose between the two or somehow keep them, you know, which I don't know how you could, because, you know, Brock Purdy is probably going to be due a contract if he does play similar as this past year. But yeah, I see that being the view where they don't trade him. Because there's not going to be the offers there, I feel like, where no one's going to be desperate. And if you do get like 20, I don't think that's worth jumping just 11 spots. That series for a guy who just coming off all-pro year.
Yeah. Let me try to make the argument for why they should trade Brandon Ayuk. A lot of people agree you shouldn't be spending on running backs. But there's so many good ones, and there's just a lot of good ones. There's no reason to spend a lot of money on them. You could sort of make the argument with wide receivers too. Every year is a good draft for wide receivers. It seems like the best athletes coming out of high school and college often play wide receiver. And the rules really make it easier to play wide receiver. You can't touch them going across the middle. The Chiefs just won a Super Bowl with Marquez Valdez-Scantling and Rashee Rice as their wide receivers. Is Brandon Ayuk great? Yeah. But do you need to spend not just 27 on him, but another 24 on Deebo and then 5 on Juwan Jennings? Do you need to have the most expensive wide receiver group in the league when you don't even throw that much and you don't even invest in pass protection?
You might have to sacrifice him to for this upcoming year. It's like, do you really think you can retain him or be worthy? Yeah. So do you just sacrifice, like, we just say screw it and write him this year and let him go, or tack? Like, that's because that's where the salary cap constraints really makes it like weird. And that's where those restructures, like we talked about last week with Kittle and Hargrave, where it's like, okay, now we're going to be in a situation where you might be with Armstead again. It's like, hey, you know what, guys? Some cap hits are hitting. And then Brock Purdy's due. You know, that's where I feel like they have to make the real decision, like right now or this offseason, to figure that out. Because if they really do believe in Brock Purdy, and again, if he has a similar or even a little bit better year than in 2023 and 2024, then now it's like, now you really have complications of how you're going to move the route of the numbers, maneuver it to make your cap even more friendly.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. I don't know. It just doesn't seem like a good idea. It feels like the kind of thing they're gonna extend him. Everyone's gonna say they did the right thing, A plus move. And then in 2 years, it's like, man, you're paying this dude how much money, and he got how many catches? Like, not his fault, but it seems like the kind of thing that you could sour on really quickly, unless he's getting 160, 170 targets. And that's not even that much to expect. If Puka Nacua can get 160 targets, then Ayuk deserves it too. He is that good, but he's never going to get that many targets on this team.
Yeah.
Never.
Probably to fuel the case of why you trade him is because I feel like if you trade him, you have to pretty much really be committed to bolstering your offensive line with a more polished prospect, right? Mm-hmm. Move up 10 spots, 15 spots, whatever. Because this is an offense, and I felt this after the Super Bowl. I think I said this with you weeks ago, is this offense would benefit by having a more stronger offensive line versus a strong array of skill position players. Right now, their skill position players is high level, elite, you know, all around. Anyone would take that group. Where their offensive line is, you know, it's okay, but, mm-hmm. you know, it's not necessarily close to that level. Where if you flip it, you have a strong offensive line versus like an okay skill group, that you could probably be okay with that. Like if you just had Deebo Samuel, Jennings, and like a couple of young guys. I mean, you have Kyle Shanahan, who's supposed to be really
right.
Creative, you know, smart, right? The genius that we always say. That's the position where he can really, that's where he really earns his money. Like, look, scheme these guys open. Brock Purdy can find them. Some of these guys can beat them guys or develop them. And that's where you can be more shored up. That way Brock Purdy has more time to find these guys. Your running game becomes more efficient. You can do more complex schemes. So that's something where you could see if you want to trade him. But I think you would have to guarantee yourselves that you're going to go offensive line. Now, I don't know if this team would ever do that, because they might go defensive lineman, like you like to say.
I mean, you obviously want to be strong everywhere, but you can't spend everywhere. That's mm-hmm. the question. Where are you trying to spend your cap money, and where are you trying to save? And it seems to me that you should be saving at the positions that are easy to find talent, right? Like, why spend a lot of money at running back when it's easy to find good ones for cheap? And I think you could use the same logic at wide receiver. It's not easy to find good offensive linemen at all. It's very difficult to find good offensive linemen. So that's, to me, where I'm spending my money. If I'm trying to find a sure thing and a good player, yeah, I'll pay for the guard. I'll pay for the center. I'll pay for the right tackle. Where I think that's what the Chiefs have figured out too. You can have a second round rookie at wide receiver, Rashee Rice, go for 1,000 yards. College is producing these guys all the time.
Yeah, it's really like almost like you got to figure out too, what's the better investment for Purdy for the 49ers? Like, is it better to keep him long term, or is it better just maybe use this pick to that you would receive from him to invest in your offensive line, or just put it elsewhere? Because I think that's ultimately where you're going to think and how much your belief is, and you're really going to do that quarterback position. Because like you said, with the Chiefs, since they have a great guy, they don't have to have like these amazing wide receivers. It's like, let's just get an offensive line, so all of a sudden our running game's good, to make it easier on him. And then we can just work some magic with him in the passing game if need be. So I think I don't mind that at all, where you have like Deebo Samuel. Like you said, positional, that would be two high-priced wide receivers you have. I can't think of many teams, if at all, off the top of my head, who actually have two like fairly high priced wide receivers on their team. It's usually one and like a slew of other guys. Like, it's good to have like one anchor, but not like you have a duo like that. That's a little too much.
Yeah. Back when Deebo requested his trade, I remember he wanted more money because he was coming off a phenomenal year where he carried the off. He was the whole team. And I think he felt he wanted to cash in on that 1 year, and the Niners sort of used like, well, what about the year before? You haven't really, I mean, they kind of used that against him, and ultimately they won the negotiation. With Ayuk, he hasn't had that big dominant season. Like he can't say like, okay, well, if you trade me, like, what are you going to do without me? When they extended Deebo, he was the offense. They didn't really have a running back other than him. It was him and Elijah Mitchell. And he was the number one receiver as well. So it felt almost like a bargain getting him for $24 million a year. Now, if they were to trade Ayuk and draft a wide receiver, they'd still have Deebo, they still have McCaffrey, they still have Kittle and Juwan Jennings. Like, the offense would still be objectively very good. So it's a move that they could, I mean, they don't have to give him all this money, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the right move, but they don't have to do it. They'd be just fine without him. They have a ton of weapons. They have a surplus of weapons, and what they don't have is blockers in the pass game.
And I know there was like a case to be made, like why wasn't Ayuk like featured more throughout the playoffs, but it breaks down to like his targets were similar to the season. But I'll basically simplify it as the Super Bowl is like, look, in a time where they need their offense to gain some big plays, they looked at Deebo Samuel more. Like he's running, you got Deebo Samuel running fade and post routes. Like that's not his game. Why? So for Kyle Shanahan, it's clear that in a game where it has passed, for some reason, he looks to Deebo. Then Brandon Ayuk, because Brandon Ayuk was open on several times, and either Purdy didn't see him on purpose, or like he just ultimately wasn't the featured thing. My thing is like, if you're the coach, you have the iPad in front of you, you could see a dude's getting open multiple times. You literally tell your quarterback, "We're gonna throw this guy." Like you have to. No, you're gonna throw to him. But no, they just kept going with Deebo more, and it's like you have the better wide receiver route runner in Ayuk, but why didn't you think about using him more in a featured setup than Deebo, who's that's not his skill set. You know, I don't blame Deebo for those drops and those poor mismatches. He's getting locked up because look, that's not his game. You're using the players for the wrong game.
You know what the Niners are? They're a fantasy football team. You know what I'm saying?
That's
great. True. Running back, great tight end, got wide receivers, quarterback. Offensive line isn't part of it though. Forget about that. It's not even part of the equation. They're a fantasy football team. They really are. They're like, they got all the guys you want to draft on your fantasy
football. Great 7-on-7 team.
Great 7-on-7 team, but Chiefs aren't a particularly good 7-on-7 team. They're a great 11-on-11 team, though. That's the thing. Really good at that. They keep winning the Super Bowl because they're the best. It's incredible. Okay, let's check out BetUS and see what they got popping today over on the specials line. Who's going to go 0-17? Who's going to go 17-0? You think the Niners going to go 17-0 next year? I do.
No.
Can we bet on it? I want to. Niners plus 3,500 if they go 17-0 next year. That's good action. That's $350 if I put $10 down on it right now. But look at some of the other guys. I could get, dude, if the Panthers go 17-0, look at how much money I could get. Do I want to throw away $10? I get $10,000 if they go 17-0. How do you not bet on that? It's $10.
No, how do you bet on this?
How do you not bet on that? What about the Raiders at plus 70,000? They got some good action there.
That's terrible.
Come on, $10,000. Do you know what you could do with that?
Shoot.
They could look
my gas for the year because gas is hella expensive right now.
That's what I'm saying. They have Bryce Young. He's a promising young quarterback. Let me talk myself into the worst bet of all time. Who else do they got? They recently signed someone.
They got rid of Brian Burns. So that's
they got rid of Brian Burns. That's good. That helps.
They got a better head coach now, Dave Canales. What's actually mean?
How about the Steelers at plus 50,000? They got Russell Wilson. They were 10-7 last year.
They got just
like that's not even a joke. That's not even a joke. What about the Steelers? $5,000 for Russell Wilson to bring it home.
You won't do it.
Bet I will.
You won't do it.
Bet I will. Boom!
Oh my God, he did it!
Steelers to win the Super Bowl. I get $5,000 if they win. That's how much fun it is over at BetUS. Hold on, I got one more thing to
say. BetUS, America's favorite sportsbook and casino. Live betting and racebook. We're celebrating 30 years with a historic offer. A 125% sign-up bonus on your first three deposits. Plus, 10% gambler's insurance. Get started today. BetUS, where the game begins.
I hope you use that insurance.
Yeah. I'm going to win that bet. All right. I want to talk about the defense. It's Nick Sorensen's defense. They're trying to keep things the same, yada, yada, yada. But Brandon Staley is not a wide nine guy. He comes from Vic Fangio tree. He's a 3-4 guy. He's a linebacker coach. And he's good at scheming up pressure, which is something the Niners really haven't done very much of the last few years. So let's talk about Leonard Floyd, who was their first signing. And he's Staley's protege. Coached him in Chicago, coached him on the Rams. He's a 3-4 outside linebacker. Kind of an awkward fit in a 4-3 defense. He's a little bit smaller. But there's some benefits. So there's some weaknesses. he might be a little bit, you know, soft against the run, setting the edge. But there are things you can do with him that you couldn't do with other 4-3 DNs, like drop him into coverage. So it seems to me that if the 49ers are going to become more exotic with their pressures, they can do things where they put him in a three-point stance, they drop him into a short curl zone, and all of a sudden bring pressure off the other side and try to get one-on-one matchups between a linebacker and a running back. These are things they weren't really doing last year under Steve Wilks. I don't know if he didn't have the ideas or Nick Bosa didn't let him, but I think like having that kind of a 3-4 outside linebacker on the field is going to give the Niners new options.
Yeah. No, that's all you want really is variety. Like with Wilks, their blitzing was so vanilla. Like forever just going back to that Super Bowl, it's like, huh, you had Spagnuolo's defense like had being so effective with their blitzing. Amazing.
That was the difference in the game like, in a lot of ways.
Yeah, the Flyers were blitzing nearly the same or, you know, nothing too off it, but it wasn't working at all. Like, ones are just like, just go ahead. Just shoot. Like, there's no cuteness. There's no creativity. At least with Floyd, like, you can get that creativity back, right? I think, I don't know. I don't even know if he's going to be I think where it gets tricky is, like, how are you going to be able to use him as an every down lineman? Is he even going to be an every down lineman? I feel like he's not going to be. The money maybe might suggest it, but it's just because you're paying them that does that make sense to actually expose your defense that badly? So I wouldn't imagine he would do that unless, you know, teams are like, it's like 3rd and 6 and it's like, maybe let's just run it at Floyd, see how he does. I'm curious to see how that will be key, how offense will attack him and how the 49ers will respond in that way. Because I pretty much fully view him as like the D forward role, just pass specialist, just go out there, get like, give us like 25 snaps and we're good.
Let's talk scheme. I mean, usually there's like a battle offense versus defense in the league. And it seems like this last year, it was sort of dominated by defenses that brought pressure. But like simulate, like not just pressure, but disguised pressure, four-man rushes, but you don't know who's rushing. Teams that were able to sort of generate free rushers, all that stuff was paramount this year. The Ravens did it well, the Chiefs did it well, and the Niners didn't do it well. They gave up a ton of pressure in the Super Bowl because they couldn't pick up or decipher these pressure packages. Immediately after the Super Bowl, they tried to hire Steve Spagnuolo, who drew him up and called him. So you can sort of see what the Niners are thinking. Like, we want that. That beat us. The Seahawks just got it. They hired the Baltimore Ravens defensive coordinator, Mike McDonald, as their head coach. So teams that have, I mean, Kyle Shanahan appreciates good defense. It beat him. That's what he wants. And Nick Sorensen can't provide it. It's not his background. He's a DB coach. Bring in Brandon Staley, who does have that background. So I think maybe one thing we're going to see this year from this team is Brandon Staley's probably going to be drawing up the pressures. I wouldn't think that's going to be Sorensen. Again, he's a DB guy. DBs aren't really involved in pressures like that very much sometimes. So the Staley effect, go back and watch what he was calling with the Rams and the Chargers, what kind of blitzes he was calling, because that's probably what you're going to see with the Niners. And go back and look what he was doing with Leonard Floyd in 2020. I haven't done it yet. Something to think about.
That actually might be a good pairing too, because look, remember, he spent that year, Nick Sorensen with the linebackers, and he spent that year with D'Amico Ryans. So I think some of those linebacker pressures, he'll be able to connect it well with Staley. And as for Shanahan, that makes sense. Like, he wants that creative defense because he himself is obviously, right, a very good disguiser of his offense. And let me get that for my defense. Because it really was just straight vanilla, like, last year. Like, there wasn't really too much cutesies. Like, it was kind of easy to tell what their cover, where everything was going. Not too much, you know, not too much. It wasn't enough. But now you get this, and it'll be more efficient. And with a versatile piece like Floyd, like how you mentioned, who can give you those two dynamics of dropping in or pass rushing, that now it's like, what are we going to do? You know, it's like a pitcher. You can't just have like one elite pitch. You have to have like multiple that you're very effective with.
Yeah. And the way I sort of judge the effectiveness of a blitz or whatever you want to call it, a pressure scheme, is are you able to generate a free rusher?
Yeah.
You're trying to sort of trick the offense and get someone unblocked. And I don't think the Niners did that very much. I feel like Robert Saleh was able to do that. He didn't blitz on first and second down very much, but on third down, he was very clever. He would blitz Kaywan Williams. He would put DeForest Buckner at nose tackle, and which would sort of force the center to slide to his direction, then bring pressure from the other side. Like, he's very clever. Nothing against Wilks, but again, he's a DB coach. So I thought the Niners had some of the best coverage they've had in a long time. You could see his impact on all those corners. I still think he made an impact on those corners. You could debate if it was other guys, but Tre'Davious Ward was great last year. I think Wilkes deserves some credit for that. But the reason the Niners like those linebacker coaches is because linebackers are involved in a little bit of everything, right? Run defense, pass rush, pressure, coverage. They're in the middle of everything.
I'm not sure how much credit Ward himself would give Wilkes. I actually asked him about that at the Super Bowl, and he said,
Right.
Like, I was cool, but I knew for myself, like, if I just locked in, like, zero credit. I was like, oh, okay.
But I think he deserves a little credit for Jair Brown, rookie.
You get a little bit, no matter what these players are going to say, you get a little bit. Not when you were mentioning blitzing, I started thinking, like, yeah, those blitzings from Saleh were great with Kayvon Williams, and, like, mm-hmm. D'Amico Ryans, again, wasn't a high-volume blitzer, but he had effective blitzes with a Fred Warner. You would occasionally see Dre Greenlaw too.
Yeah.
And Hufanga was great at that too. What I realized is and I remember you said this like a week or two ago, when Hufanga was when he was still healthy, he was like the main DB blitzer of the 49ers. I don't think they ever did that with Lenore. I don't know if because Lenore is like a little too skinny, or I don't know. Yeah. But once he went out, I didn't recall seeing any DB blitzing. At all. There wasn't enough like shadowing. Everything just was like, okay, it's obviously Fred Warner's going to line up in the A and B gap. He's going to shoot there, or they're just going to, it felt too predictable. You know, that was the thing. Like, everything just felt too predictable. And now very you have guys who can give you these different arrays of play calling that will make you more effective again, because that's ultimately what Shannon's probably, you know, he's an offensive guy. He's probably watching it and he's like, dude, I know what to attack against this defense so easily. Why are you making this so vanilla? I think that's why I also had a hand in it with Wilkes. It's like, dude, what are you calling this? And I go back to that Minnesota Vikings week where he was pissed off about that cover zero blitz at the end of the half. And I'm not sure, aside from it being situationally, I think he was more like teed off, like, bro, like of all the blitzes, you couldn't even make it more clever. Like, you literally showed that it was it. And Kirk was like, oh, okay, I know where I'm going. Like, you're making the quarterback's decision way easier than it needs to be.
Right. And so, like, those blitzes that Wilkes would call, I feel like he would call five-man rushes with man coverage behind it, or six-man rushes. I'm talking about more zone blitzing here. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about dropping Leonard Floyd into a zone and then bringing a nickel off the other side and trying to get an unblocked rusher, trying to get the offensive line to slide to Floyd. And that, I mean, I think that's sort of what the kind of stuff they're going to try to do this year. Or they better?
Because remember, Sarson does have that Seattle background, so I think we see like more like that heavy cover three zone again. And you kind of get back to the root. I think that's why Shanahan pretty much did go with him. And you bring Staley in as a possible contingency in case, like, you know, things will go wrong. But if anything, it's like, cool, we get like a little dude giving him the ear for a first timer, and maybe we somehow build a connection. Because that's ultimately why I think they took those 3 weeks. Is I know they were looking at candidates, but I think it was more so how it would work between the two. And they pretty much like I feel like that's what the weeks were spent doing. Trying to get them two to hash out. I want the plan. I want to know now. Can you work together? Yes. This is what it's going to be. I won't hear nothing of it. And maybe it took some time for like maybe Staley and other people like to really like come to terms on what that would be. But now I'm actually, you got to be fascinated on how this is going to work now.
Yeah. And for people that don't know like scheme stuff, when I say zone blitz, like that's a four-man rush. And you drop a lineman and you blitz someone else.
Yeah.
So you're disguising where the fourth guy comes from, but you still got seven guys in zone coverage. A lot of times, if you rush five and have six in coverage, defensive coordinators aren't going to want to play zone because there's so much space in between all the players. They'll play man. So that's what a zone blitz is. And I think it's what the Niners, they want to be sound on defense. They don't want to take a player out of coverage to heat up the quarterback. And like, they want to have seven in zone coverage. And you can do that and blitz with a guy like Leonard Floyd. So I don't know. It just feels like that's probably what Staley was doing with the Rams 4 years ago anyway. And that's in his background. And I'm curious to see how he integrates it and what the Niners are doing. Just don't drop Nick Bosa. That doesn't help.
That's dumb. Don't do that.
Okay. I got another question for you. Bunch of free agents still out there. No one too attractive, but at this point, I think you're kind of bargain shopping for people who can play like roles.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at that linebacker spot. I'll give Devondre Campbell credit. You know, he seems to be a good run defender when healthy. A couple years ago, he had a lot of tackles. So, okay. I still don't feel comfortable with him on the field, like in the nickel defense on passing downs.
Yeah.
at all. And that's okay. I mean, he's almost 32. If he could just hold down like a base linebacker spot and stop the run, great. But I still think the Niners need someone to platoon with him. Like, if they're going to platoon Leonard Floyd and Gross Matos, then I think they need to platoon English, Devondre Campbell and someone else. So I'm looking at like a nickel linebacker who can cover. And a nickel linebacker doesn't even necessarily need to be a linebacker. It could be a safety. And I'm thinking of one who was a first-round pick a few years ago, more than a few years ago, and he played for the Seahawks. And they give up a lot for him. And he didn't do that well for them, but the Niners wouldn't be giving up really much of anything for him, and they wouldn't be playing him at safety or starting him. Should the Niners sign Jamal Adams as a nickel linebacker?
No. No, because take away the on-field stuff. The off-field stuff, what it seems like last year, is he's becoming like a distraction with his little back and forth with like people in the media on Twitter. This whole like, look, the
Pete Carroll. Me.
Oh yeah, yeah. He might. He'll probably be a new one. Dude, they literally made him an inactive on purpose. Like, it feels like he's the Carson Wentz of the defenders, where no one wants to be around this guy. That's what's intriguing to me.
The Niners should also sign Carson Wentz.
Yeah, you'll have like one on offense. Yeah, complete the circle, huh? Complete the structure of the fold.
Yeah.
But no, I think that's ultimately where you can't do it. Like, even if you somehow get it, you can guarantee like his performance won't be that bad. I just don't know how you're going to bring someone like someone into that locker room that's being viewed as toxic now. But you want chaos because you're the Joker.
No, I feel like he's kind of humble now. I mean, he's in the backside of his career. No one wants him. So he's right. He's like playing. He's like talking his way out of the league right now. Give him a 1 year contract, $2 million. 1 year, $2 million, nothing guaranteed. And you could cut him at the end of training camp if it doesn't work out. But bring him in and give him a look.
You know when you sign him, you sign him like after a week of tour of training camp when you're unsure of linebacker, like you're like, oh god, Campbell's a little slower than we thought. Because that's my biggest gripe with him is like just some like I didn't watch like totally every Packers game. But like, you know, the handful I've seen from those guys, like laterally, he's not fast. And that's one thing 49ers defense has always been tremendous about on all levels of their defense is having play speed. He doesn't really have that. And the fact, or maybe he did, but now he doesn't have it right now. It looks like it. You get Adams, probably an uptick in speed. But uptick in linebacking speed? Is he?
I just thought of something, bro. Did you see my face? I just had an epiphany. Why are the Niners in the market for another safety? Maybe they're going to play Hufanga as a nickel linebacker, bro. What? Did you think of that? Maybe they're going to play like one of their safeties that they already have as a nickel linebacker. Bro. Actually, Hufanga as a nickel linebacker, I might not be mad at that. You don't want him playing deep, do you?
I think they're looking more for like straight coverage safeties. That's why they brought in Julian Blackman. Like that guy's a pretty nice coverage guy.
Yeah.
But then there's also the wonder, when is Hufanga even going to be healthy? You know, and same thing with this guy, Adams. This guy always has injuries too.
Good point. So if the nickel linebacker isn't Adams or Hufanga, it ain't anyone else on the team. They got to draft that guy. And it could be, again, a DB that they play at linebacker on passing downs. You know who could have done that job when he was younger? Tart.
Yeah, they did use him there.
Yeah, nickel linebacker. He'd be good in man coverage. He got good size, 6'2". He could have done that.
Yeah, they always did that. Like that was so cool
Mangini.
About having them.
Yep.
You fluctuate between whose coverage because they both could do it pretty well. I mean, Ward was a better coverage guy, but Tart was capable. And that's kind of, I think, what I think the
49ers. Dude, they should hit up Tart. What do you think Tart's doing? He ain't doing nothing.
Dude, ever since the Niners cut him and he went to the Eagles for that training camp, no one ever saw him again.
I know.
Like, he's never been brought in.
Hit him up. Just text him. I bet he'd be down. Do you want to play nickel linebacker? Come on.
Didn't he give like subtle shot like on a local radio station around here about the 49ers or something about the Eagles or something? That's better? I don't know.
That's probably not what you want. I think Jamal Adams would be cool though, because he likes the media. I think me and he could have a show together.
That's what you just want him for him, just so you could bro down with him. Like, what's up, man? Like, what are you doing this Saturday? Like, before the game, like, let's go kick it.
I once advocated, I think it was 2020, I said the Niners should trade 2 first-round picks for Jamal Adams.
Thank God they didn't listen to you.
Seahawks did, though. Sorry.
That was pretty bad. It's all right. The Niners drafted Javon Kinlaw instead.
Good point.
Another whiff. Can we? The day one,
he got a bunch of money though. He got a ton of money from the Jets. Good for him.
That's talk about free agency. It gives you like
Chase Young got a ton of money.
Oh, like $13 million guaranteed. Okay,
fully guaranteed.
So wait, did you read that the 49ers knew he had a neck problem and said, okay, we don't care? I think they just knew they just wanted to bring him in for the half year and just said like, yeah, we're probably not bringing him back next year. Thank God they didn't bring.
What a waste of a third round pick.
And the Jets are going to have Kinlaw be a starter. I think that's also going to be why Kinlaw didn't want to come back is, number one, he's getting paid more, obviously. But I bet you like there was like a year, $4 million deal on the table for him, but he's not going to be a starter. And he's like, no, I'm going to go start. Because again, like, why did Eric Kendricks most likely bail the 49ers? It's like, well, I'm going to play my natural position, be similar, you know, one-year deal. Or actually, is it a two-year deal? I don't know. But it makes more sense.
You know who his backup is at Kinlaw?
Solomon Thomas.
Yeah.
Robert Saleh collecting former 49ers first round picks like they're Infinity Stones. I'm almost complete.
Let's get McGlinchey at some point.
Oh God, yeah, they would love to cut that guy.
Okay, here are the Niners first round picks under Kyle Shanahan: Solomon Thomas,
Reuben Foster,
Mike McGlinchey, Nick Bosa.
Don't get credit for that. My mom doesn't pay attention to this. Would have picked him. I don't give him any credit for that.
Brandon Ayuk.
You get credit for sure.
Trey Lance.
Well, and not only that, Trey Lance, and you traded other first round picks. That's what makes it worse.
Yeah, Trey Lance. Three times. So they got Bosa and Ayuk. Are they going to get another one of those this year? Or are they going to get the next McGlinchey, the next Solomon Thomas, the next Kinlaw?
Which, by the way, how did the 49ers, of all the teams who traded their first-round pick, former quarterbacks from 4 years ago or 3 years ago, how did the 49ers got the most value out of theirs than a Mac Jones, than a Justin Fields?
You know why?
Most untradeable.
It's a good question. You know why? Because they didn't play him.
There's still the mystery of him. The mystery box. There's still that alluring thing.
Hell
like,
yeah.
I just did like... It was never going to work here. When you're a playoff-ready team, it's like, dude, we can't do the James Wiseman Warriors thing, especially at a premium position. You can do that at wide receiver,
right?
You know, maybe linebacker, certain position, but you just can't do it at quarterback.
I mean, everyone thought the Bears and the Patriots and the Jets were doing the right thing by playing their young guys early and getting them on the field. Turns out they just exposed to the whole league how terrible they are. They all are. And by just maintaining mystery with Trey Lance, the Niners got something. It was actually genius, as David Lombardi would explain. It was the best move. That's David. I love David.
Zach Wilson's untradeable. You couldn't even throw in picks with him for another team just to get something. That's how bad he is.
Yeah, that's how bad.
A terrible player and a guy with a poor attitude is what it looks like. He's talking about toxic players. That kid definitely looks toxic.
Uh-huh. He's going to be golfing with Josh Rosen for the next.
Did you see that tweet that's going around? Like the quarterbacks of the last 3 years that were drafted, the only one actually capably starting is Trevor Lawrence and Brock Purdy, which is funny because you have the number one pick and the very last pick of the drafts in between since then, or not since then, but that's.
I have a theory. It may not be true, but this is my theory. I feel like the transfer portal has.
That makes sense.
Dumbed down college offenses because you constantly have players shuffling in and out from teams year after year. How sophisticated can you really make your offensive scheme? Mm-hmm. It seems like you have to make it as simple as possible because you're always teaching it for the first time to hella players, not just freshmen. So you get guys coming in the league who just, it's like, whoa, I haven't seen anything like this. I'm sorry.
I think especially when you have like in the case of all the first round quarterbacks, non-Trevor Lawrence, not even Trevor Lawrence, because Lawrence hasn't been great since he's been drafted, is you don't have a lot of those guys came from perfect situations practically. You didn't see him in adversarial situations, seasons, mm-hmm. and the levels of competition they were facing, like everything went right, which is cool. But like Caleb Williams, is intriguing because look, nothing went right at all for USC last year, but he was still pretty sweet coming off a Heisman year. I mean, that's something that's like that you take away from. It's like, okay. And then Trey Lance's case, only played one season, then he didn't play another season. And it's like a lot of these things are missing. That's why I feel like a little bit of the benefit of the Pac-12 essentially dissolving in a way with SC and UCLA going like to the Big Ten and everything is like they'll get more better competition than they did like fighting each other in the Pac-12, where now it's like it'll be easier to probably weed out who's legit or not.
So you think they should sign Jamal Adams? Well, okay, I'm glad we agree.
Yeah. Sign Jamal Adams, yeah. Sign
yeah. I convinced you. You weren't really on board at first, but I got you.
Yeah, sign him so when he plays bad, it'll be easy to talk, you know, critique him. It'll be easy.
Who's a better quarterback? Josh Dobbs or Trey Lance?
Josh Dobbs.
Probably. It's gonna be an interesting year for Trey Lance. Is he gonna play?
Trey Lance, yeah. That's what I was gonna say. Like, he's probably never gonna play unless someone goes down. Like,
Is he going to get re-signed after this and then not play again? Is he going to have like the longest career of anyone and never play and just keep getting it signed? That could happen.
Look, it's not a terrible career. You're a glorified backup quarterback. You're top five pick, right?
You don't have to play.
A lot of money, and you're going to keep making a couple more millions year after year. You chalk that up as a win for your life, to be honest.
Major win.
That's something he could easily stomach for himself.
I like the Josh Dobbs signing. I thought that was a really good backup for Brock Purdy.
I really love it the most because remember, like, and we disagreed on like, oh yeah, no, you were like backup quarterbacks are valued. And I'm like, yeah. You know what? They are, but get them at a good value. Don't get them like for those $5 million, you know, or you've been doing as a team, right? The 49ers. Like I saw that, like they signed him for 2.5. That's standard. That's good bottom line backup. I'm like, that's beautiful. And you get a guy who's proven that you can, if Purdy goes down for multiple games, that you could still sustain yourselves and possibly even win games.
It's true.
I love that one.
Yeah, I thought it was good. I thought it was good.
They're screwed, though. Purdy's out for the season. They might make the playoffs, but...
Oh, yeah, they're absolutely screwed. But what I like about Dobbs as opposed to Darnold, I think he's better than Darnold, too. And I feel like on the Niners, any quarterback, like one of the best things they need to be able to do is avoid pressure because there's going to be a lot. And Darnold doesn't avoid pressure particularly well at all, even though you think of him as mobile or whatever. Purdy does. Dobbs does. I think he's a good fit.
Yeah. He's extremely smart. That's another thing. Like, he's just, I mean, what do they call him? They call him Astro Boy or something?
Astronaut.
Because like, he was an actual, like.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, he's smart. He's smarter than me.
All right, let's start the weekend early. It's Jose's birthday. It was his birthday yesterday, but really it's his birthday all week because you only turn 29 once. You know what I mean? Next year he's going to be 30, and then it's going to be all downhill from there. So live it up, buddy.
Don't say that. That's what everyone's saying.
29. It's a really good time. Really, really enjoy it. Look at that face.
And Future Metro Boomin came out with the album just for my birthday. So
go jam it.
Dude, that album slaps. Anyone watching knows the album is...
A slapper. Metro Boomin wants some more. Just a little bit. Okay.
It's toxic season, Grant.
Next time you see me, I'll be in Orlando.
Oh.
It's annual owners meetings. So we'll talk to...
Is that next week already?
Monday. Monday, Tuesday.
Oh, shoot.
I'm flying now. That's the cheapest flights I could get. It's so expensive going to Orlando. Because people love Disney World.
One of my homegirls is actually there for... someone's birthday this week, so it's definitely popping. You're going during spring break too. That's why it's a spring break time. Remember?
Oh,
this week. That's why I sometimes hate traveling for my birthday because I've been to Hawaii, you know, Cabo, and all these places for my birthday, and it's like I gotta find that one week before like the spring break really hits because that's when like everything gets like, you know, inflated from flights and stays and such. So that's
any recommendations for Orlando? It's supposed to be like Disney Central, right?
Yeah.
I'm not a big Disney guy. Are you a big Disney guy? Like, would you go to Disney World and be like, oh my God, it's Goofy. Hey, check it out.
I've never been.
It's a person wearing a Goofy costume. Let me go take pictures.
It's a lot of walking too.
And then the rides are for like 3-year-olds, excuse me, 8-year-olds.
I'm hoping that if I ever get a girlfriend again, that she's not a Disney fan and forces me to go, because I'm going to end up like caving, like, oh, fine.
Did you say if I ever get a girlfriend again?
Yeah.
Okay.
If I ever get one. No one likes me.
I think you will. Let's everyone put good thoughts out there for Jose in his search for a girlfriend. The right one's out there, I think.
I'm just going to start playing video games with Mountain Dew, like Xbox style.
That'll do it. All right. Well, on that note, thanks for watching, everyone. Have a great weekend. Happy birthday, Jose.
Yay.
Yay. See you guys.
Slap the Future album.